Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The Wall Street Journal this morning starts right after this. Good communication is crucial for any business, especially when the people you work with aren't in the same office. You need to be able to stay connected and meet with coworkers and clients wherever they are. That's why millions of small business professionals rely on Citrix GoToMeeting, and you should too. It's the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. With GoToMeeting, you can share the same screen to review documents and presentations in real time, making it easier for everyone to stay on the same page. And with built-in HD video conferencing, you just need a webcam to see each other face-to-face. It's just like being together in the same room. GoToMeeting allows you to present, demonstrate, and just simply meet from anywhere with any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. See why millions choose GoToMeeting. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Let the debate begin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It is Wednesday, May 7. Glad you're on board. Here's what's up this hour.
A new report on climate change prepared for the White House warns of harm being done to Americans and the economy. But the research has its critics.
Conservative activists lost momentum to establishment Republicans in primaries yesterday. What does this say about contests in the coming weeks?
Does your family have college loans? Senate Democrats want to restart negotiations over managing student debt. Find out what's in the works.
Congress is looking for a way to extend a moratorium on internet access taxes that's set to expire in November.
There's a moratorium right now on new taxes on internet access, and this is a 15-year-old moratorium that's been extended several times by Congress. So far, there's lots of support for extending it again, but no one in Congress is doing anything to speak of to do that.
Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon on the potential of a new internet access tax. He's here in about 10 minutes. Republican Party leaders and their allies in the business community have notched wins in a series of competitive primaries in North Carolina and Ohio. It's an early sign they are gaining the upper hand over conservative activists ahead of other key 2014 primaries. In North Carolina, Republican primary voters picked House Speaker Tom Tillis to square off against Democratic Senator Kay Hagan in November.
It's not the end of the primary. It's really the beginning of our primary mission, which has been the mission all along, and that is to beat Kay Hagan and to make Kerry Reed irrelevant in American.
In other results favorable to the GOP establishment, House Speaker John Boehner easily defeated three primary opponents in Ohio, and Republican Congresswoman Renee Elmers repelled a conservative challenger in North Carolina. The victories yesterday by these leadership-backed candidates in those states set the stage for other contested primaries in Georgia and Kentucky on May 20th and in Iowa and Mississippi, which vote June 3rd. A new study from the federal government says changes in the climate are causing harm to Americans and the economy, which has caused billions in damages and will continue to get worse. President Obama will use the report to promote his agenda in the coming days.
We also have a chance to turn back these rising temperatures if we take some bold actions now. And that's going to require a combination of government action, business action, and individual action.
He spoke with ABC News. More on the 800-page report from Wall Street Journal reporter Alicia Mundy. Alicia, summarize this.
Well, they certainly all agreed on what the outcome is, and the report is pretty dire. I mean, the report, in order to try and make it relevant, what this report did that was unusual, it is unprecedented, very comprehensive, is that they basically went practically city to city to be able to show the effects of climate change in your backyard. Starting with things like what's left of northern New Jersey's shore in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. So, I think they had an idea of where they were going, but they certainly put a lot of data into this. They looked at, for instance, weather data on temperature and precipitation going back to 1895 so that they could see the trends.
Earth has been around for much longer than that. Is that the pushback some might get? Like, how can you possibly measure the Earth from just 1895?
I did get a little bit of pushback from the energy industry, the American fuel and petrochemical manufacturers, who represent some of the oil and gas producers. Their president, Charles Drevno, he had seen drafts of the report, and he knew what was coming. And he said, you know, listen, the report basically says you need to start moving to renewables, you need to get away from carbon emissions and fossil fuels. He said fossil fuels are what's helping developing countries continue to develop. It's what poor nations and poor areas of this country ask for, available and cheap fossil fuels. And he said, look at what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine. You know, we're trying to help them get energy supplies so that the Ukraine can pull away from Russia. And he said, you don't hear the Ukrainians asking for solar panels, windmills, or ethanol from us.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Alicia Mundy in Washington about this new climate change report. Is he saying this sort of an arrogance on part of developed nations, like, hey, we're willing to change some things, and we don't really care what happens to you? Is that what he was getting at?
It was partly that. I mean, one of the points he made is that we're working on, you know, trying to cut back on carbon emissions, and then there's China just, you know, chugging along with its, major pollution problems. But yes, one of the issues he raised was, you know, who are we to basically tell these developing countries to stay in their situation for the next 20 years because we think they should give up on fossil fuels, the only thing that they can easily and cheaply afford.
I know in one part of your story here, it talks about how the report pinning much of the increase in climate change on human behavior, and that's a sore spot for many.
That is a very sore spot for many, and the report takes a lot of pain to show why they ruled out all of the change being due to normal weather patterns or volcanoes or sunspots or anything else. I mean, they go to great lengths to show where the only possible culprit in certain areas could have been human behavior. Mm-hmm. Or the results of human behavior, carbon emissions from cars and power plants and what have you.
Thanks, Alicia. Wall Street Journal reporter Alicia Mundy in Washington. Plenty of political reaction to this report, as you might imagine. Republican Senator David Vitter of Louisiana said the report was supposed to be scientific, but says, quote, it's more of a political one used to justify government overreach. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
When it comes to getting the legal help you need, LegalZoom provides a great solution that works with your busy schedule. If you're starting a business, forming an LLC, or getting a trademark, will, or living trust, LegalZoom will provide the personal attention you need and help you take care of all the details. Call or visit LegalZoom.com today. And don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout for a special discount. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services, but it's not a law firm. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Shari's Berries. Mothers are special every day, but Mother's Day is the day to really make her feel special. Order a gift from mom that's as unique as she is. Giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries, starting at just $19.99, over 40% savings. Or double the berries for just $10 more. Shari's Berries are topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, or nuts. Don't wait long. Order now before this Mother's Day deal ends. Call 866-FRUIT-02 to order, or visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WSJ. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Make sure you make mom feel special and order now. Millions of us could be facing new state taxes on our internet access this fall as Congress struggles with how to extend an expiring moratorium on such levies. The 15-year-old Internet Tax Freedom Act prevents most states and local governments from taxing access. The tax reprieve, however, is set to expire on November 1st. And so far, as Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon tells us, lawmakers have taken few concrete steps to reenact it. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. John, what's happening?
So far, there's lots of support for extending it again, but no one in Congress is doing anything to speak of to do that. And the reason is that lawmakers are aware that there's also a lot of support for another bill, sort of unrelated, that would allow states to collect more tax from online sales, from commerce online. And so the people who want that bill to pass are going to team it up, combine it with the extension of the internet tax moratorium. And so that's going to slow it down a lot, and there's just a real potential for a logjam at this point, and another one of those right up to the deadline 11th hour finishes that Congress is so well known for.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon. Are states eager to impose the tax if they get the okay from Washington?
That's not clear yet. I think because it's so uncertain yet whether the moratorium is going to expire, you haven't seen a lot of signals from the states yet that they're going to try to impose this new tax. And there's some debate about whether a lot of states would do that immediately. Even if the moratorium lapses in November, there's still a strong possibility that it would be reimposed within some period of time. So states may be looking at this as a potential new bucket of revenue, but it's not clear that it's within their reach. And already, internet providers, particularly in the wireless area, you know, big telecommunications companies that provide wireless services, they're getting ready to send out notices to their customers this summer saying, you know, get ready, we may have to start collecting some tax that you never had to pay before on your particularly smartphones.
Wow. Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John McKinnon in Washington. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. A $100 million settlement is taking shape for victims, families, and creditors in connection with the deadly meningitis outbreak linked to a Massachusetts pharmacy's steroid shots. The trustees for the New England Compounding Center's bankruptcy asking a judge to approve the deal. The meningitis outbreak killed 64 people and sickened hundreds. The U.S. is assembling a team to help Nigeria search for more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram. President Barack Obama spoke with ABC News.
A combination of military, law enforcement, and other agencies who are going in trying to identify where, in fact, these girls might be and to provide them help.
Among U.S. steps, the Pentagon will provide a contingent of advisors with expertise in hostage negotiation and rescue. Remember cash for clunkers? General Motors is out with its own version of offering the deep employee discounts to owners of cars this time involved in the recall of those ignition switches linked to 13 deaths. North American President Alan Beatty is also telling customers that GM is working to regain their trust. If your local Sears or Kmart store is still open, it may not be for long. The company is expected to announce more store closures as part of a plan to return to profitability. CEO Ed Lampert told the company's annual meeting that since 2005, Sears has closed more than 500 locations. Yesterday, Office Depot said it was closing 400 stores. Fed Chair Janet Yellen today gives her assessment of where the economy is headed. In the meantime, U.S. stock futures are a little negative after a lower close. The Dow lost 130, the Nasdaq fell 57, the S&P 500 slipped 17. Declines centered on high-growth smaller companies and internet shares, including Twitter.
They're taking a beating, and I think stocks are taking a beating as a result, though most of the selling is concentrated in the former high flyers.
Jim Myers with Tower Bridge Advisors near Philadelphia. Today, Tokyo shares were down almost 3% after a couple of days off. Monica Lewinsky, who's now 40 years old, has written an account of her affair with then-President Bill Clinton. In published excerpts for Vanity Fair, she talks of the humiliation that she endured, said she regrets the affair, and that she was suicidal at the height of the scandal. And she said that while her boss took advantage of her, she maintains that it was a consensual relationship.
She'll be in the news forever, won't she? She will be in the news forever.
She's in it now, again.
Yep, how about that? All right, thank you, Gina. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Is your family straining under college loans? Senate Democrats are pushing to reignite negotiations over managing student loan debt that resulted in a bipartisan deal last year. But Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson in Washington says they face a tougher climate in an election year. Christina, explain this.
So this is an area that there was some bipartisan agreement on last year when lawmakers in both chambers passed a bill that did lower the interest rates that people were paying on their student loans. And Senate Democrats introduced a bill that would enable people who couldn't take advantage of those rates, which went into effect for loans taken out after July 1st, 2013. Democrats have introduced a bill that would allow people to refinance loans if they had earlier loans, taking advantage of those rates that were agreed to last year. It's an area that, you know, there we have seen bipartisan agreement on in the past, but this is an election year, and that makes everything a lot harder. So it's not clear if Republicans would be willing to negotiate with Democrats on this specific proposal. Republicans have said that they will have their own plans for making college more affordable, but it's not entirely clear what those are going to be.
Opening up the refinancing option for people who got their loans before 2013 could potentially impact a lot of people, right?
Right. I mean, there's an enormous amount of student debt in the country. I think it's just over $1 trillion, and a lot of that is from grad school debt. So, you know, there definitely would be a lot of people that would be impacted by this. One of the sort of key points in this debate is how you pay for changes like this, because when lawmakers propose, you know, making policy changes, they want to make sure that they're not adding to the federal budget deficit. So in the case of this bill, which was introduced by Senator Elizabeth Warren and about two dozen other Democrats, they would rely on what's called the Buffett rule, which would end some tax breaks for millionaires. That specific idea is a pretty partisan one that Democrats have backed and Republicans reject. So, you know, that is probably a no-go with Republicans. But Senator Warren did say she sort of views this as a starting off point, and she's open to compromise on how they could pay for the changes that she is proposing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson in Washington. So does there appear to be real hope for compromise, or will things get stalled in the run-up to the midterm elections?
You know, there may be some agreement that this is an area that people want to talk about. It's just, it's hard to overstate how complicated things are in an election year. And her legislation, something similar to that, is probably going to become part of the Democrats' midterm agenda, which is called the Fair Shot Agenda. And most of the pieces of that agenda have been pretty partisan, like raising the federal minimum wage. So by being included in something that's fairly partisan, that probably makes it a little harder.
Thanks, Christina. Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson, who's based in Washington. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, that deadly Ukrainian fire is blamed on pro-Russia rebels.
When I was pregnant, I got more advice than I knew what to do with. What I needed was information I could trust on how to take care of me and my baby. Luckily, United Healthcare has a simple program that helps moms stay on track with their doctors and get the right care and guidance before and after the baby is born. Simple is good right now.
Innovations that work for you. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business, including trendy designs and unique styles. And you don't have to worry about getting stuck along the way. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. Try Squarespace today for free, and when you're ready to go live, enter WSJ at checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code WSJ at squarespace.com/WSJ. Squarespace.com/WSJ.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, May 7. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, Ukraine blames pro-Russia rebels for a deadly fire that took dozens of lives, a controversial new report on climate change, and a preview, or rather a review, of the new MacBook Air. That report in about 20 minutes. Now the latest on the spiraling conflict in Ukraine. The fire last week during rioting that killed 42 people in a building in Odessa where pro-Russian protesters had taken cover was likely sparked by rebels on the roof who accidentally dropped Molotov cocktails. That's the finding of a new government report, which is likely to further anger separatists in eastern Ukraine who view the new government in Kiev with deep suspicion. We take you now to Odessa, a port city on the Black Sea, where Wall Street Journal reporter Philip Shishkin is located. Philip, what's being said?
What the Ukrainian government is saying is that it appears that the fire began when pro-Russian protesters who were positioned on the roof of that building where the fire broke out mishandled Molotov cocktails and ignited the top floors of the building. Now, that explanation will be hotly contested by the pro-Ukrainian protesters, by the pro-Russian protesters, because they believe, and there's no evidence and no explanation that will get them to believe otherwise, is that the people who burned and who died in that building were deliberately set on fire and entrapped in that building by pro-Ukrainian protesters attacking them.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing here in Odessa is this very sort of troubling dividing line between pro-Russian protesters and pro-Ukrainian protesters, which has a dynamic of a civil conflict.
All right, so the report says that these Molotov cocktails were, quote, mishandled or dropped on the roof or the upper floors. But to be fair, both sides were throwing them, correct?
I think the truth, as always with this with these kinds of events, is somewhere in the middle. There's clearly Molotov cocktails thrown by both sides. And the fact that the Ukrainian government is pushing this theory that it was only the people on the roof that are to blame is frankly, at this point, seems, well, they say they have evidence, but it seems like it's going to be contested by the pro-Russian side, who already compared this event to the worst Nazi crimes against civilians in World War II. So it's a very strident rhetoric, and it's important not just because of Odessa and not because of the tragedy, but also because, you know, as we know, Russia has stationed troops on the Ukrainian border and has said that if Russian-speaking residents of Ukraine are endangered or killed or in any way discriminated against, then Russia will use that as a pretext to invade.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Philip Shishkin in Odessa, Ukraine, site of that deadly fire last week. The government now says it was mishandled Molotov cocktails on top of the roof that led to that fire. What does this report mean for the presidential election scheduled for May 25th, Philip?
Well, we have to remember that we have a real shooting war going on in the east of the country, not in Odessa, but in eastern provinces in the Donetsk region and Lugansk region, which are very much the hotbed of the pro-Russian armed rebellion. So the country, the Ukrainian central government says they will proceed with the presidential election, but they've already said it might not be possible to hold it in all of the regions in Ukraine. That election is hugely important because the current government in Kiev, which came to power in a revolution in February, lacks legitimacy, right? They came to power in a coup, and even though there's a lot of hair splitting as to whether it's constitutional or not, the fact remains that many people in eastern Ukraine, ethnically Russian, they believe that it's a junta, that's the word they use, it's an illegal sort of coup. And so the longer they are in power, the more it creates sort of this sort of power vacuum, because they do not have you know, the wide legitimacy. And that also ties their hands in terms of what they can do.
All right. Thanks, Philip. Wall Street Journal reporter Philip Shishkin with us today from Odessa, Ukraine. By the way, follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn. The free TuneIn radio app is available on your smartphone and tablet and on TuneIn.com. 21 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Is the higher cost of a new home worth it? Depends on your priorities. Here's MarketWatch reporter Amy Hoke in Chicago on when paying a premium is worth it. Amy, what are experts saying?
So this is basically on a report that Trulia did, the real estate website. They found that it cost about 20% more to buy a new home than an existing one. We know that it's, you know, new homes are always more expensive than existing homes, but they actually quantified that. It's about 20% more. And while 41% of people who they polled said they'd actually prefer a new home, a lot of them aren't willing to pay the premium for it. That said, you know, when you do buy a new home, I mean, there's a lot of perks, right? The maintenance costs are going to be lower. The home is going to be more energy efficient. And it'll look more modern. So a lot of people are willing to still pay that premium to get a new home.
Okay. The drawbacks, I guess, to new versus existing might be what?
Well, certainly the cost. The other thing, too, people who said that they were felt very strongly that they preferred an existing home. A lot of them were drawn to the traditional features of an existing home, such as, you know, woodwork or stained glass windows that you're going to find in an existing home. But another very important feature, too, of an existing home is that they're going to be in established neighborhoods. You know, new homes are going to build in, a lot of them are built in brand new subdivisions, so a lot of the neighborhood hasn't developed yet. So when you're talking about people who would go that route, besides the price, a lot of them do look for the established neighborhoods instead.
Yep. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Amy Hoke in Chicago. She's got a story about the higher cost of a new house and why it might be worth it. All right. So is there one time that's better than another, say, to buy new or to buy existing? Compare and contrast there.
Well, I think that if you need the modern features, you're really not going to settle for anything other than the open floor plan, bigger closets, the kitchen island, walls that are pre-wired for flat-screen TVs. Those are some things that people really like and they look for. That's what you're going to find in a new home. Maybe you'll find one, you know, some of those features in a home that's less than 5 years old that has been lived in before, but isn't necessarily a brand new home. And you might be able to find those features too. And a lot of people find that that's the best way to go with a newer home that has an established yard, has some of the little things in it outfitted by an existing or a previous owner. Sometimes that's a good way to get for people to go. And one of the realtors I talked with for the story said that a lot of times, as long as it looks new, the clients seem to be happy. They don't really care if someone's lived in it before. But if it looks updated and modern, that's really what they want.
Thanks, Amy. Market Watch reporter Amy Hoke from Chicago.
Flight 24 will depart from gate 39.
It's a good thing you're always ready to go.
Proceed to the gate.
After the two-week vacation in St. Thomas and the conference in New York, there was the unexpected client meeting on the coast and the middle of the night call to Asia. This was all before taking the red-eye home with a delay. So it's good to know that even after weeks in airport parking, your Cadillac is also ready to hit the road. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts keep your Cadillac as ready to go as you are.
For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand-name tires at your Cadillac dealer. See participating dealer for eligible tire brands and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by June 30th, 2014. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery of debit card. Offer ends May 31st, 2014.
Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Do you want to know the best way to thank Mom for all she's done for you through the years? Send her a beautiful 100 blooms bouquet plus a free glass vase from proflowers.com for just $19.99. Upgrade to 100 blooms with a pink vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. Pro Flowers freshly picked bouquets make the perfect gift for Mother's Day and will last the whole week. Ordering is easy. Just pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed on time. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click the blue microphone and type in WSJ. This deal expires Friday at midnight, so be sure that you thank Mom and place your order today. It's 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's First News.
Good morning. Republican Party leaders have notched wins in primaries in North Carolina and Ohio.
If we want to change the government's overreach, we have to change our senator.
In North Carolina, GOP primary voters picked House Speaker Tom Tillis as their nominee to square off against Democratic Senator Kay Hagan in November. In Ohio, House Speaker John Boehner easily dispatched three primary opponents. These wins set the stage for contested primaries in Georgia and Kentucky on May 20th and in Iowa and Mississippi June 3rd. The Obama administration is out with an 800-page report detailing how climate change has touched every corner of the country, from maple syrup makers in Vermont to oyster growers out in Washington state.
What this climate assessment does is really hopefully educates the public that this is not some faraway thing. We can do something about it.
President spoke with ABC News. Some Republicans accused the administration of favoring politics over science at the expense of the economy. Well, speaking of the economy, today investors will listen up for testimony from Fed Chair Janet Yellen.
They're always looking for some hint as to change in policy. I don't think Janet Yellen's going to give them much at this point in time.
Jim Myers with Tower Bridge Advisors near Philadelphia. U.S. stock futures look a little on the negative side this morning. We did have a negative day yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow lost 130. The S&P 500 fell 17, and the NASDAQ was down 57 points, with Internet shares among the biggest losers, including Twitter. Crude oil futures are up this morning by almost 1% to just over $100 a barrel. Chinese internet powerhouse Alibaba has filed papers for an IPO. Yahoo, which owns a 24% stake in that company, saw its shares move higher late yesterday as word of the filing became public. Some experts warn of overheated expectations for Alibaba at a time when there are still questions about its business, often described as eBay, PayPal, and Amazon all rolled into one. Intel and Google are pushing bigger roles for portable computers known as Chromebooks. An Intel official says that hardware makers are expected to deliver about 20 competing models of those computers, which use Google's Chrome operating system. They've been popular in schools, especially when it comes to the price of starting at less than $200.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Gina. 8 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Looking for a new laptop? Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Joanna Stern goes inside the MacBook Air to ponder what is next for laptops. Joanna, what will we notice?
You actually won't notice much of a change to the MacBook Air by looking at it. Actually, you won't notice any change by looking at the machine. The only difference is that inside there's now a faster Core i5 processor. But the biggest change comes when you actually check out. You'll notice it on your credit card because it is dropped in price by $100. Apple dropped the price by $100 on the MacBook Air last week, making it now $899 for the 11-inch version, for the 13-inch version, $999. And that actually makes it the cheapest. It is the lowest-priced Mac laptop ever sold. And so I felt like it was a good time to really look at this laptop because I've actually long said that I think the MacBook Air is the best laptop ever made. And that's because of a combination of performance, battery life, and design, and also just the touchpad experience really sort of changed how we interacted with a laptop. And I felt like, okay, this is a good time to look at this. You get a great laptop now, or the best laptop now, at $899. But what's next for the laptop? And that's sort of what I tackle in the column.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Joanna Stern. So what might be next?
So, you know, I kind of take on this idea that maybe the laptop doesn't evolve from here. The laptop has gotten as good as we're going to get at this point. And the laptop is not necessarily a post-PC device like a tablet or a smartphone. But I disagree with the people that are saying those things. And I believe that the laptop is actually a post-PC device. It just is a different form factor than the tablet. And what's interesting is that we're actually seeing tablets, as they evolve, become more like laptops, sort of coming around full circle. We've seen it with the Surface. We've seen it with some Android tablets. tablets. We've seen it with iPads, people adding keyboards to them. So I believe just that the laptop evolves to become more like a tablet, and the tablet evolves to become more like a laptop. And so, you know, how Apple gets there is the big question. Lots of question marks. Will Apple ever combine the Mac operating system with iOS 7 or iOS 8, whatever comes out in the future for the iPhone or iPad? And, you know, I'd like to see them do that at some point. I don't think that that's in the near future. But I also think that there are some other really interesting laptop features that will come along and will change how we actually interact with our computers. And that might be gesture support. I think it's definitely voice. I think there's a lot more we can do with voice on our laptops. It also might just be things that are just fix some of the problems we still have. The MacBook Air, like I said, is the best laptop for now. Great battery life. I can get through a whole day. But if I'm going on a trip, I'm still bringing that big charging brick with me. Where's wireless charging? Where's solar charging?
Thanks, Joanna. The Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist, Joanna Stern. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing. So I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.